Hello and welcome to the Heartistic Podcast. I am your host, Stevie Sound, and thank you for joining me today. Today, I have a local photographer from Toronto in the music scene. His name is Neil Gianjuli. I hope I said that right. Did I say that right, Neil?
That's okay. Hello, everyone. Neil Gianjuli here. I do concert photography a lot. It's like my favorite thing to do. And I also co-own an independent record label called Little Depth Records. We're a startup just kind of getting ourselves sorted in the Toronto scene, but we're looking to kind of shake things up a little bit and develop the music community in a way that we want, in a way that we want to see it grow.
Awesome. Awesome. That's awesome, man. So thank you for coming today, man, and, you know, sharing your side of your creativity. This show is all based on Canadian creatives and, you know, the hard work that we do to get our fellow peers out there. I just want to make sure that everyone is, you know, has a knowledge of who we are, because there's some talent out there and, you know, you're one of those talents. So thank you for coming again, man. I want to start with asking you, you know, how did the love of photography start? You know, when did it start? Were you a little kid? And then how did it eventually move up into doing the whole music scene thing?
Sure. I think I only really started paying attention to, like, music in general, like, a little bit later in life. Maybe I was in end of high school, maybe early, yeah, around high school, like grade 9, grade 10. But it was like 2018, it was a couple years into university, and I asked for a camera for Christmas, because I thought it would maybe be something that, like, my dad and I could bond over, because he was into photography too. But, cool. And right when I got the camera, I took it to a concert that some of my friends were playing, the Pacifiers, and I went to high school with them. And I had no clue what I was doing. Like I said, I had just gotten the camera. I kind of learned how to use it in manual mode over a couple days, and then just, like, took it out. I was, like, very nervous, and I was like, oh, like, I don't know, let me take photos or what, but it was a really great experience. It was very challenging, but I had no idea what I was doing, but I thought it was just the most fun you could have. Like, I loved live music at that time, and I think taking photos of the show kind of helped me connect to the performers in my own way. I have, like, a pretty extensive performing arts background, like doing theater and stuff, so I can definitely relate to what it's like getting up on a stage and, like, performing. And I think this was just sort of like another avenue for me personally to tie into that feeling of, like, putting on a show, giving a performance, or creating something live on stage for an audience. And I just really enjoyed being able to capture, like, little moments from that. And then after that, like, one show, I was like, I just want to keep doing this. And I stuck with it.
That's it. That's awesome, man. That's an awesome answer. That was a lot of passion in there. That's exactly what I'm looking for. You know what I mean? That's great, man. So how do you feel when you're out there? I know you've explained it a bit, like, it's kind of like an inside desire that you can't explain, of how you felt when, you know, you're taking pictures of these people in, well, within their reactions of what they're doing. That's like a personal thing, you know what I mean? So kind of elate on that.
Well, I think that's just it. You're capturing joy. And I mean, as, like, a photographer, I prefer working with people and subjects. And especially musicians too on stage, because you're observing, like, movements, and you are looking at something that people don't do, you know, in their everyday life. It's unique to that. It's unique to that environment. On top of that,
I have
to think about this a little bit.
Yeah, no problem, man. While you're thinking, you know, you said something about how, like, you know, there's people that are doing this. I'm in love with sports. Like, I love sports. I absolutely, every sport. I watch cricket. I watch Polo when it's on. I watch everything. And my girlfriend asked me once, she's like, what do you see in this? Why do you love it so much? I think I was watching NHL and like one of the players does this dirty deke and just like dekes out half the team and scores. And I'm like, because you see that? Well, that guy was a little boy and that guy literally worked so hard and did so much training and like did so much to get to that point and he did it. And when I see that, I'm like, holy crap, like, you know what I mean? It ignites something inside of me, you know? It's kind of just like, whoa, that person's pushing himself to the limit. I think that's what it is. I think just seeing someone push themselves to the limit and the beautiful full thing that their brain can create, you know, if you feel empathetic to that or if you feel close to that, that says something about you. You're a creative, you know what I mean? That's exactly what you are.
Yeah, and I think when an artist is on stage, you know, you leave it all out on the stage, right? Whoever you are is going to come out when you're performing, and it's a really great way to really capture people as they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, I mean, maybe there's some exceptions to this, but I think most musicians, when they perform, they are expressing their truest self. Through the music they've either written or they're just performing or even just if they're playing covers, because they obviously selected that cover for a reason. And I think that's what really draws it to me. Like I said, I prefer working with people as a subjects because it's because it's a way for me to connect with people. I'm not a big fan of doing like street photography or things like that because it's very difficult to like both capture like people in a candid moment and also making a connection with them.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. with music, I get to kind of have my cake and eat it too, because, you know, I'm established that I'm there and I'm taking photos of the band and, you know, they know I'm there. So everything's all above board, but then I get to observe these people in their element. You know, kind of like, you know, like a dancing, like nobody's watching kind of thing, except everyone's watching and they've got a guitar in their hands.
Yeah.
That's why I find it so special.
Awesome, man. That's great. Yeah. I feel the exact same way. Like, you know, I can't explain it. When I see someone pushing to their limits and doing something that truly makes them happy, that truly makes me happy. I don't know if there's a word for that or anything, but that's kind of what I'm getting off you. You know what I mean? Let me ask you your thoughts on Toronto's local music scene.
Sure. You know, I did, when I was in school, I was in the States. So I guess I'd still say I'm like fairly new to it, but I'm starting to get pretty comfortable, at least with like a lot of the local venues here. But I think what surprised me about it is I do feel it's a little, like, smaller than I thought. I feel like some of these places should be just a bit busier than I thought they would be. And it's hard for me to understand, like, why you wouldn't want to go to a concert on Friday night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are like, you know, it's so expensive to go out in Toronto. Like, I don't want to pay $20 for a cover at a club and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, well, you can go pay $10 for a show and you get like 5 hours of music, and you know, it's like, you know, it's like the greatest thing in the world. But what really surprised me is like, not insular, but it is like a small, like tight-knit scene. Everyone knows everyone, and you meet someone at a concert on one end of the city, and then you're at a show a week later at the other end of the city, and then you'll run into people that you've met. And I really like that. I really do. It makes it kind of feel like a homey place to be.
Yeah. A lot of people in the scene are nice too. And you're right. We do see a lot of each other. It is kind of small. The one thing that I do realize is for such a small group, they're all talented. And I'm not just talking about like, yeah, everyone's talented. You know what I mean? But like, some of the stuff that I've heard on the radio and then I hear in these local bands, I'm just like, what's going on here? Why are you reversed? You know what I mean? And it's like, there is just so much talent pouring out of Toronto. It's ridiculous and everything is good. There's not one there's not one same band.
Yeah, and everyone, and I also too, I think a lot of, because there's so much like diversity of like background and culture and thought, everyone is coming at it with their own like ideas or perspectives, and I think that really kind of elevates the thing. I mean, everyone knows that Toronto is like it's one of the quintessential like North American melting pots as far as people coming in from different backgrounds to mm-hmm. sort of make a life for themselves here. And I think that's really reflected in the art and any kind of art scene. And I think it just makes everyone better for it. Definitely one of the things that I struggled with, like starting with photography, is like I almost felt like a little embarrassed, like looking at other people's work who were really exceptional at what they did, because I was kind of like, well, I don't know if I'll be able to do that or be able to get there. But you need to surround yourself with talented people who are doing really good things to improve yourself. And it shouldn't come from like a point of like feeling ashamed or embarrassed. It should come of a point to drive you to do better. You kind of need that sort of like small fish in a big pond feeling, and it lights a bit of a fire under you. And it just at the end of the day, it means that everyone's doing better work, because, you know, you're a band and you're playing on a bill, and if everyone is going to be tight, then well, you're going to want to be tight too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think at the end of the day, it's healthy. It's good.
That's good, man. You said you went to school in the States. What school?
It was at the University of Rochester, mm-hmm. you know, like upstate New York.
Right.
And I, you know, I wasn't 100% sure at the time whether or not I was going to stay there, come back to Canada. And I finished school. It was sort of right around when COVID hit. And that's when I was like really kind of starting to dig my teeth into like the local scene there. And, you know, I was going to like basement shows and like dive bars and taking photos and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, and it was a little bit difficult because everything was more spread out, and it was just me, like, I didn't know anyone else there.
Right.
And I started to meet people, and I was starting to slowly get the ball rolling, and then I was finishing school, and then COVID hit, and all of that stopped.
Yeah, just so down the drain.
When I came back to Toronto, I was very worried because I felt like I was kind of starting from square one, but I wasn't really, because I had the guys on the Pacifiers and Little Depth, and shortly after sort of linking up with them, it just like all of these opportunities slowly started to roll my way, and then things have just kind of exploded over the past summer. So
nice. Okay, so tell me about some of your favorite local Toronto bands, and then let's get into the Little Depth records and the relation between you and them and the Pacifiers.
Yeah, so I guess, like, I mean, in that order, I would definitely, at the top of my list, I would definitely shamelessly plug the bands that I work with the most, that I've been working with the most through the label. So, you know, Techno Westerns, Pacifiers, mm-hmm. Sons of Shanley, Rumble Sons, and Murphy, were all been super tight, and they're all just phenomenal people, and I think we've sort of started to develop, like, a pretty diverse roster of music, and we've been able to put on different kinds of shows and involve people in different social circles within the scene, and kind of get some intermingling and crossovers there, which is, I think, is a really, really cool thing to see, and people seem to be very, very receptive to it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I've been to a couple of Little Depth record shows, or the bands that you've named, and they're all, it's the nicest crowd, it's really good music, but just the talent that pours out of you guys is amazing. I remember the Handlebar show, man, when the Pacifiers did that ballad song. I'm going to call it a ballad song. I don't know if it's a ballad song, but...
Oh, yeah, Stella, where Andy takes the mic and he goes out into the audience.
Oh,
right?
My God, dude. I watched that audience go from, like, okay, what's this, to, like... Honestly, like, dude, everyone was floored, absolutely floored. Everybody in that bar was like, what the hell did I just experience? Like, it was phenomenal. Literally, like, it was a ballad like November Rain, man. Like, it was, I know it wasn't that of, like, you know, the tonality or whatever, but just the power that the lead singer of Pacifiers, Andy, you said, was bringing. Holy crap. And, like, I hope someone videotaped that, because that needs to be out there. Like, that was the power of music coming out of Andy and what he does with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and, you know, what's been really awesome for me is I love, like, shooting the same bands multiple times, because, you know, you learn their sets, you learn how they move on stage, and you're able to anticipate things, and it ultimately produces better photos, but... for me, it's very cool to see how a band, like, develops and they get more comfortable on stage, you know? Even if it's just, like, one show, even if it's just, like, two shows, you know, a couple weeks apart, from that first to second show, you know, they'll be rehearsing, they'll be thinking about their last show and what they want to do for the second one. It's going to be a different venue, there's going to be a new crowd. And even in that short time, bands can really develop and change. Because really, at the end of the day, there are only so many shows that you can play in a year, right? So it's just been such a treat to be the one whose job is to really just kind of observe and document things and see how everyone's developed. It's incredible, and it just goes, and it's a proof that everyone's just working super duper hard.
Yeah, man, the scene is filled with motivational people, and just the determination is off the charts, man. It's amazing. So tell me some bands that you really, really like and you think have a lot of potential, that you don't currently work with a lot. I'll name one. I saw them with the Howling Gales. They're called Electrocat. And till this day, like, I'm 33. I'm a little bit older, and their music just brings back the 90s to me. I don't know if that's an insult to them. I'm sorry if I'm insulting them, but, like,
Which band was this?
They're called Electrocat.
Electrocat, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard of them, but you need to go check them out, because they are the deal. They're so good. It's more of an emotional thing that pours from them. Like, the music's good. Don't get me wrong. The music's very good. Mm-hmm. But all four members are so emotionally in that band on stage that you, like, it's like you're on the same magic cloud ride with them. It's so good.
I think they've given me a follow on Instagram, but I had never heard of them before, so I'll definitely dig into them a little bit more, maybe reach out to them. So, yeah. But yeah, thanks for that, for sure. I think, I mean, off the top of my head, it's hard too, because my head is like a revolving door of, like, bands, because, like, you know, I'm shooting a band at the end of the week, so it's like, oh, I'm going to be, like, super into them, I'm going to be, like, listening to their music a lot and getting tight with them, and then, you know, I deliver the photos, and then it's like, oh, okay, now I'm thinking about this next band, right? So they're always coming in and out of my head, but most recently, a band called Pushing Daisies, they put out an EP, Late Bloomers, and they're phenomenal. They've cultivated a great fan base, and they're so talented and engaging on stage, and they have this perfect blend of, like, really tight musicianship and, like, showmanship, and putting on a good show, being dynamic performers, and their attitudes are just, like, second to none with regards to, like, interacting with the people they work with and their fans and their approach to music. So definitely they're definitely at the top of my list. Another band called Neon Bloom, kind of like a garage rock, synthy, funk band, and they put on, like, it's not just a concert, it's a performance, and they're definitely, like, one of the most dynamic and expressive bands I've ever seen, ever. Mm-hmm. And I shot them a couple times now, and it's so much fucking work, because they're always doing something on stage. Their bassist, Fred, is, like, jumping around all over the place, and he's sweats flying off of him, and he's, like, holding the bass between his legs and getting on the ground and shredding. It's and then their singer Jen, she's like, she'll make eye contact with the audience, she'll walk out, she'll look at people, she'll come right up to the camera, and yeah, they're such phenomenal performers. I'm absolutely blown away by how much they bring to, like, putting on a concert.
Nice. I don't think I've ever heard of them.
Yeah,
so.
And then and then another band too, Hockey Academy. They're getting going, and they're going fast. They kind of have this really tight, kind of shoegazy, a little, like, mathy kind of vibe. And they're just so, like, not a missed note anywhere. Like, they play so fast and so tight. And they just, like, they keep the energy up. It's like you're on a roller coaster, and it's just one long drop, and you never get tired of it. It's awesome. So, yeah, I guess those are the three bands that I guess have been rattling around in my brain. But again, I could just keep talking for hours and hours and hours about all the cool bands that I've seen. So
yeah, absolutely, man. It's awesome out there. Okay. Let's go into a little bit more about, like, your process and like the things that you do to get yourself ready for a photo shoot, or, you know, something that you do with Little Depth Records. You know, are there like three things that you do, or is there something that needs to be in the setting or the scenario in order for your creative process to go the way that you want it to go?
Yeah, is this like for shooting a concert or just like any creative work in general, or?
Yeah, just like, how do you get creative? I guess that's an easier way to ask the question. How do you get creative?
Yeah, I haven't been doing as much like creative work for myself recently. It's mostly been like deliverables for other people, which is like fine, because I which is like fine. It's no problem. You know, I struggle a little bit with like doing creative work just for myself, because I just have all these, not ideas, but I find it really hard to get started and execute a concept, versus if I have like a deliverable, I have somewhere to be, something to shoot, like a concept to execute that I'm working with someone else, I find it a lot more conducive to me actually like doing something. But a lot of it is just, I think, starting at what the deliverable is going to be. So what do you want your end product to be? And then like working back from there, I think is the number one thing for me. And then the second thing will usually be try and figure out a way to do something differently, or to try something new, or to challenge myself, or to employ like a technique that I've seen other people do, but I've never done it myself. Just again, purely as like an exercise to like push myself and hopefully learn something and add like another tool to the toolbox, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Anything that makes you work the way you work makes sense, as long as you're not harming anyone. You know what I mean? Yeah. You could be the weirdest person in the world. You could do like jumping jacks, eating watermelon. And if that gets you in your creative process, hell, that gets you in your creative process. You know what I mean?
Actually, for a course I was taking, I had to do self-portraits, and self-portraits as a whole are, I find, very difficult, but I think it's important, especially as a photographer, if you're taking other photos, if you're taking photos of other people all the time, I think it's important that you, every once in a while, you step in front of the camera, either your own camera or, you know, someone else's, just to kind of bring you back down a little bit, to ground you and understand what that's like. Working, what that's like, you know, being photographed. Because like I said before, for me, it's all about developing a relationship with your subjects. I think that's what makes my art better. And so doing self-portraits was kind of a way for me to like check in on myself and, you know, work on the relationship I have with myself. And so I ended up like setting up a strobe in my bathroom, and then I used my like shower tile as a backdrop, and then I mixed up some like fake blood using like corn syrup and flour and food coloring, and then like I painted it on myself and took some headshots with it. As like a purely like, oh, I'm like a dumb emo kid, and this is like kind of edgy and fun, and I just want to see how it looks. And they came out great. So
that's there you go.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a cool idea. I used to be a kind of dark, morbid kid like that. I would do some weird stuff while I grew up listening to a lot of metal music, so I would write these like really morbid metal lyrics, and I still write them till this day, but they're a little bit more structured. And like, there was one time I was going through my stuff like 2-3 years ago, and I was like, holy crap, wow, I was such a different person. Like, I wouldn't write stuff like this anymore. It wasn't like bad, but it was kind of like, you know, you just see a different person. You see, it's so cool. Okay, so tell me about the gear. What kind of gear do you use? What's your camera?
Yeah, so I will preface this by sort of saying, like, gear doesn't matter in the sense that, like, you know, you can make images with anything, you can draw pictures with anything, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's never good for anyone to kind of get bogged and down and say, which I definitely am guilty of being like, oh, like, I'm not able to execute, like, X, Y, Z, because I don't have ABC. But that's, like, totally not true. You shouldn't let the equipment that you have, like, prevent you from going out and doing the stuff you want to do. You know, because cameras are just tools, and it's the photographers that are making the images. So I just wanted to, like, preface that. You know, nice. That being said, I have a pretty, like, sweet kit, and I just absolutely love it. It's perfect for my use. So I do shoot on a Nikon D780, which is, like, a full-frame DSLR.
Okay.
And then my go-to for concerts is, like, a 24-70 f2.8 zoom, which lets me cover, like, wide-angle stuff and then the medium to tight shots if I need. And then usually I'll have like a strobe, like a flash unit on my camera with a diffuser. Again, that really depends on, you know, the venue lighting, if I want to use it or not. Some venues are just dark as crap. Looking at you, hard luck and stinky D's. There's just like no light. So, you know, having the flashes is a lot easier. It's more conducive for me to produce good photos, but some venues I don't necessarily need it. Like supermarket, the lighting there is phenomenal. Cameron House, usually the lighting there is also really, really great too. That's like what I basically use for 90% of my concert work. I used to shoot with like prime lenses, which are like fixed focal length lenses, so you can't zoom, and then I would swap them out throughout the set. But I found I was missing a lot, and you know, it was just very, like, involved, and there's more risk of me, like, God forbid, breaking something or dropping something. So this allows me to spend more time just, like, in the performance and not worrying so much about my equipment. And sometimes I will shoot with like, a second camera body. I have a Nikon D500, and that's got a crop sensor, so it lets me get a little bit more range, and I'll throw, like, a really fast prime lens on that, too. But I don't always use it, but usually it's just my main full-frame camera and my zoom lens, and I'm pretty much good to go for whatever.
What are some of your favorite venues to shoot in? I think you talked a little bit about it because of the lighting, but, you know, elaborate a bit more.
Sure. The Painted Lady is one that we spent a lot of time in. Like, we have a bit of a residency there, so we have regular show dates every few months. And it's a very small stage, and there's like a bit of a platform, and then the drummer is sit in this like dungeon at the back, like covered in you know, insulation, right? So it's kind of impossible to take photos of the drummer, but at the same time the drums sound incredible in that venue. But I kind of like it because, like, no matter how many people are in the venue, because it's kind of narrow, when everyone is coming up to the stage, they gotta really come into the venue and like be right in front of the stage, so it always looks full, which is both fun for the performer and fun for me too, because I love taking photos of people in the crowd. And just the where I am, I'm like right up next to the musicians. So, you know, I get to be really close, and getting closer to your subjects and photography is always like a good thing. It was challenging at first because there isn't a lot of space to maneuver, but at the same time, I think some of my favorite photos I've taken so far have been at that venue. If I had to think of another one, I've done two shows at Supermarket so far, and I actually was quite impressed with the lighting and the setup and the space. I like how, you know, there's a curtain on the side where I can go and get the drummer as well. It's like a nice, pretty wide stage to be able to get around. So definitely Supermarket is one that I've really enjoyed. Lastly, I think the Handlebar too in Kensington, only because like the stage is like square and it's in a corner of the room. So instead of just being able to stand on one side in front of the stage, you can kind of go around to the side. I think that's fun. It's different. You don't really see that a lot at other venues. It gives you some kind of unique perspectives to it. And again, because the audience is always right up next to the musicians, there's a lot of like interaction that goes there. So
yeah, Handlebar is one of my favorite stages. Like, just the floor is done so nicely, and it's just like it makes you feel like you're actually at a venue. Like, it's a bar, but you know, like there's like a bar venue. Like, it's just, it fits the vibe for sure. I'll definitely say
like,
that.
The sound is always phenomenal there. And yeah, like, Zach is just like one of the most phenomenal people we've run into in the scene so far. So.
And Zach's the sound guy there?
The manager, and he also does the booking there, the Australian guy.
Nice. I don't think I've met him yet, but I will definitely get to that.
Yeah, if you see him, just say hi, because he's just like, especially to like from a company standpoint, at like the first show that we kind of had back after COVID was at the Handlebar, and we absolutely packed the place. Also, too, just working and, you know, just, again, sort of getting our feet in and kind of sussing and sort of feeling out, like, because every venue booker is different, and you got to work with the booking agency or the booker themselves for the venue, and people have different attitudes. And so we're always trying to keep in mind of being like, you know, where are some places that we feel comfortable with? And also, too, if we're representing artists, we want to make sure we're putting our artists in situations where they're going to be comfortable and respected, right? And the Handlebar is always at the top of our list of a place that feels like home. So
yeah, I love that bar. Okay. So I want to ask you a couple more things. Firstly, to the younger generation, hopefully listening to this podcast and aspiring in the same creative path that you have, what kind of like advice or insight can you give them, you know, starting out or still going through with it and maybe, you know, having some ups and downs, you know, what piece of advice can you give to them?
I mean, this sounds like kind of cliche and, you know, people have probably heard it before, but I think maybe that's because there's some truth to it. Is that if you want to do something, you just kind of have to go out and do it. And like, show up and put yourself in this and find a way to be in the space that you want to be. Like, if you want to shoot concerts, then, you know, just go to concerts as an audience member a lot and see what that's like and just be comfortable in that space. And then, you know, and then just talk to people and ask. You know, my experience has been pretty positive, just like reaching out to people. I mean, some people will be like, thanks, you know, we don't have anything at the moment, but if we do, we let you know. And then you leave it at that. And also too, I think reaching out over Instagram is a bit more of a crapshoot because you can't, it's hard to kind of tell what the other person is like, versus like you come up to someone in person and you talk to them and you explain themselves, and I've had a lot more success that way. So yeah, just showing up and being there, is I think just like the number one thing. And you know, during COVID, I wasn't able to go to any concerts. No one was. That was a really tough time for me because that was the one place that I wanted to be. So, yeah, just showing up and being there and not being afraid of a failure. So, you know, put yourself in challenging situations that you feel like you're pushing yourself a little bit, is always good too, because not trying for fear of failure is not really the way you're gonna move forward. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely, I definitely agree with that. There was one last question I wanted to ask. It goes back to like when we were talking about when you were in Rochester. I want to ask, you know, was there a difference in like the music scenes? Did you see like a difference between American music scene and Canadian music scene? Was there something that we could learn from it, or were we doing something better?
It's different. Also, too, like, you know, Rochester is a smaller city. It's like around 450,000 people versus Toronto. But also, too, it is very suburb-y. It's very quite spread out. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think in Rochester, like, I interned at a radio station, and it was a classical radio station, so I didn't know anything about classical music, and it was also, like, a public radio station, too, so, you know, there were a lot of people in that community who just loved being, like, patrons of the arts, right? Like, they genuinely felt like, this is what I should spend money on because I think it's good. And, you know, it gives me enjoyment, but also too, it brings up the community. Right. And yeah. So maybe sometimes I feel like there's so much money in Toronto. Like you can't deny, like there's so much money in the city, but I think sometimes it's a bit of a tough sell convincing people to spend it on art unless they feel like there's something they can get out of it too.
Absolutely. Right? No, that's a clear problem in Toronto.
Is that is there a lot of people who would like to spend, you know, younger people who would like to spend money on art, but they don't have any money. So,
exactly.
You know, there has to be a way to kind of like meet in the middle, I think. And so that was one of the good things that I saw in the States. Rochester also has, I mean, you know, from the people I've talked to post the pandemic, things haven't quite recovered or bounced back in the way that I think things have here.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a very strong, like, DIY kind of basement community there, which is something okay. that I always heard about, you know, listening to like DIY emo bands, like that grew up playing basement shows in backyards and alleyways and things like that, was really, really special to me because, again, even more so, it's intimate and it's authentic, and the vibes are just right. And, you know, I've been kind of asking around and seeing, and I have a few people who do house shows here and there, but that kind of like house show DIY thing doesn't really seem to be the vibe here in Toronto. And I'm not saying it's good or bad or whatever, but personally, that's the kind of stuff that I really like to participate in. But I haven't seen much of that here. And I don't know if it's just because it's very, very underground and it's happening and I'm just not running in the right circles, or if it's just not a thing. But, that's definitely something I would like to see more of.
Yeah. I haven't heard of much of that, but like I know in suburbia and like the GTA, that's big. There's a whole bunch of like basement underground stuff like that, especially in suburbia, like Burlington, Brampton, Hamilton. It's huge. I know that. So
yeah, that makes more sense to me. Yeah.
Rochester being the suburb as well, right? Okay, I think I'm out of questions. Let's play two little games. One is just a simple game. It's called the plug out game. I just tell you to plug your favorite bands, plug yourself, tell their Instagrams, you know, get your friends out there basically. So do you have anyone that you wanted to do that for?
I'll plug myself first, at Neal KG on Instagram, NEALKG. And then the label at Little Depth Records. And I mean, basically any band that I've worked with and shot is absolutely worth going checking out, just for their music and also to go through their shows. So literally just go through the Instagram, see who I've shot and give them a follow or give them a listen. That's probably the most efficient way I can do that.
Right. Yeah. No, that was simple.
For a very, very long time. Also definitely a big shout out to, the music scene, again, at the music scene. It's like a local music scene, pretty self-explanatory, but I think one of the big highlights in it is print copies are distributed at local venues around the city, so if you see one, grab one, and if you're in a band, please, please, please submit your show listings to them, because hosted on their website and in the print copy of the scene themselves each month are just tons and tons of show listings from all around Ontario, so not just within Toronto, but Hamilton, Sudbury, Oshawa, Brampton, you name it. So it's just a good place to basically like plan your month and figure out, oh, like if I want to go to a show every single weekend or every single week or whatever for the week, then take your pick because you'll absolutely find something near you. So I guess those are the three big things I'd wanna plug.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the music scene. It's like the Toronto music scene in a little pamphlet. It's so awesome. It's so cool how you guys have actually like structured it and everything. It's easy to read. It's accessible. It's awesome. You should definitely go pick one up if you're at your venue.
And again, the bulk of the work is Zach from Rumblesun. So big shout out to him. I don't know if he's trying to keep that low key, but yeah, he deserves it. He works so fucking hard on it. I also too really enjoy just the small part I do in that. So.
Well, he's exposed now, so there you go. Check it out, the music scene. That's awesome. I love those things. Okay, and then we'll play the last game before we wrap up. It's called the playlist game. And basically, I ask you to go into your playlist, your best playlist, the one that you listen to the most, and you're going to press shuffle. And then you're going to tell me the first three songs that come up, and you're going to relate them to yourself. We're gonna basically find out who you are via those songs.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, first song on this playlist, it's mostly like emo music, on this one. So they're all going to be within the same genre. But this is kind of a playlist I put on, when I just really want to get down into my feels and get some like cathartic release I don't know, when I'm sad, like, I like listening to sad music. Or when I'm not sad, I also like listening to sad music. But, yeah, okay. So, the first song is Aesthetic, More Like Aesthetic by Panucci's Pizza. And it's, yeah, and so there is like, so for people who, like, know, like, there is a lot that happened regarding, like, the artist behind Panucci's Pizza, and there's, you know, they're not, they did some things that were not good, and so they're, you know, it's a bit of a question of, like, separation of art to art, of art and artist, but,
okay, so I've never heard of Panucci's Pizza, period. Like, that sounds literally like a pizza place.
It's kind of, like, pretty niche within, like, the Midwest emo DIY.
Okay.
But most people who have heard of it will know sort of the story behind it. So,
okay, so what is the story? What did they do that people don't like?
Oh, it was like, grooming and sexual abuse and stuff like that.
Fair enough, yeah. That's what I kind of thought.
So, yeah, so, and then there's a big story behind that, but... you know, I still have the music on the playlist, but, it's a song kind of about, like, not being, like, happy with yourself, you know, physically, and, like, definitely self-image and confidence is something that I struggled with when I was younger, so, it definitely keeps me a little grounded, just as far as, like, the lyrical content of that song is, but yeah, again, you know, not trying to get into the whole separation of art from art.
No, I totally understand.
You know, if you have opinions about it, I guess I don't know, reach out to me on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what's song number two? What was song number two?
Song number two is Ocean by It Looks Sad. So, yeah, definitely another, like, emo band that I was listening to in, like, the beginning of college when I was really starting to get into that genre and really, really, really get into just enjoying music and realize, and, like, I was at that point where, like, I really, really was in tune with how music had such a profound effect on my mood and in my life. And there's some breakdowns on the song, which are just fucking great. So, yeah, definitely It Looks Sad. Some of the earlier stuff is really phenomenal.
Did you ever like a band named Rufio? Do you remember that band?
They sound super familiar, but I don't think I could place any of their music in my mind.
Okay, yeah, they're super emo. That was, like, through the whole, like, emo time in the 90s or early 2000s. Now let's do number three.
All right. And this one is Head in the Ceiling Fan by Tidal Fight.
Okay, I know Tidal Fight.
Yeah, and Tidal Fight they're just one of my favorite fucking bands of all time. Like, if I had a desert island band where it's, like, you get one band and their entire discography, they would probably be it. So their four, like, albums go from, like, hardcore punk to, like, shoegaze, and everything they put out is just so phenomenal. And I'm very sad that I was not around when they were together and they were performing and stuff, but... kind of like a side thing in Rochester, Ned Russin, who is, like, one of the bassist and one of the front men of Tidal Fight, he had started a solo act called Glitterer, and so he was touring and he came to Rochester and he was playing as part of the album release show for a band that I was taking photos with, and it was actually, like, insane getting to meet and take photos of him, because, you know, like, kind of like one of my heroes, or he's just part of a band that I just was such a huge fan of. So it was just, that was just, like, really, really, really cool. And then, like, I went to see Joyce Manor and Citizen and Prince Daddy and Phony Danforth a couple weeks ago, and it turns out that Ned's brother, Ben, who was also in Tidal Fight, was drumming for Citizen. So, like, just, you know, it's just cool. But, yeah,
absolutely.
Tidal Fight is just one of my favorite bands of all time, so...
They're a great band, man. I used to jam them as well, too. I don't think I've ever seen them live, but I'm sure that show's probably off the hook as well, too.
No, you can, there are some pretty good videos of, like, their concerts and stuff, online, and the shows look insane. So, yeah, definitely one for the history books.
Great. Okay, I guess so we found out that you were an emo kid. I'm sure it's still am, right? Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, a lot of the bands I work with are right now sort of been into, like, the indie, or around the sort of the indie rock genres or related genres. But, yeah, this is definitely a scene that I'm still looking to kind of get involved with in Toronto, but I just quite haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, there's no rush.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to see it, man, because, like, Toronto music's never going to stop. Okay,
cool.
I guess it's time to wrap everything up. I want to thank you again for being on the show, man. I had a fun time dissecting you, and, you know, there's a lot of devotion in you, man. There's a lot of good in you, so keep that up and do not spare a little bit of it, because, you know, that stuff keeps the heart pumping, and that's why we're all, what this show is called, Heartistic, right? So,
absolutely.
Do you remember how to close this show off with me?
I think so. We'll give it a go, and then if it doesn't work out, we can run it back.
All right, yeah, let's try it up. Okay.
Okay, all right. So, this is Neil Ganguly coming at you from Toronto, and above all else, I am Heartistic.
There you go. You nailed that, man. Awesome. Thank you again, man. Toronto, thank you for listening, and... spill your hearts out. Stay artistic. Thank you very much.